This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yo, it is another edition of Phillies Today. I am your host, James Seltzer. It is Wednesday, August the 1st. And yes, ladies and gentlemen, your Philadelphia Phillies are in first place on August the 1st. I think if you told a lot of people that back in April, they would have told you were crazy. But this team fights and is resilient. And yet again, coming off a tough loss, they bounce back. They win last night in Boston, 3-1, splitting the two-game series in Boston. Just a really fun baseball game last night. Really both games in Boston, even though, of course, losing in the 13th inning is never fun. It was a fun game to watch, and it was well-pitched. Obviously, Aaron Nola on a national stage was a superstar and showed everyone out there what we've seen, his best pitch game of the season. But last night, we also got to see Jake Arrieta with his best pitch game of the season. We'll get to that, but just a fun Philly squad. And yesterday, of course, on Major League Baseball trade deadline day, the craziest, most wild week up to plus the deadline that I remember in recent history, is so many names flying around. We'll get into all that as the Phillies add some pieces. Astrubal Cabrera was not the only trade they would make. They had a catcher, they had a reliever. We'll get into all that coming up. But first and foremost, 59-48 on the season. Stay in first place, up on the Braves by a half game, as the Phillies continue to bounce back after tough losses, after tough stretches of baseball. Four straight losses heading into last night's game, including the 13-inning bummer of a loss, especially when you consider that the only run they gave up heading into the extra innings was the fault of Odubel Herrera misplaying a fly ball in center field. And then they also gave up some runs with a base running gap, at least one, maybe more earlier in the game. So just a frustrating night for the Phillies and, of course, Phillies fans, as it was a game they should have won and ultimately lose it in 13 innings. But last night they come back, they bounce back just like they did after that tough, hellish first week of the season when their manager got booed in his first game at home in Philadelphia after the loss in Washington when Hector Neris blows the game that Arrieta pitched against Scherzer, and they come back and they're in that one. Neris had a few of those types of games after the series against the Mets early in the season with the shifts and all that stuff. There's so many spots where this team continues to bounce back. The rough West Coast trip, followed by the Hayward Grand Slam and the Milwaukee drubbings that they took, 12 runs back-to-back games. And again, and again, and again, and again, they bounce back. They fight back. It's such a resilient bunch of guys, especially considering the youth that they have, the youth as a manager that Gabe Kapler has. It's really been such an impressive, fun thing to watch, and really makes them very rootable, as well as it's a team that's never out of a game and also never too far down that they fall into any long losing streaks or they start to kind of recede into themselves. It's been great to watch, and it really gives you hope for the stretch run, as well as no game has been too big for them. We saw that this series in Boston as they went toe-to-toe with a now 75-34 Boston Red Sox team. Theoretically should have won both games, did take the second one, the one they absolutely had to have, no less, as Jake Arrieta with a masterful outing. It's so fun to finally say, after saying it 100 times, it feels like, more likely 3 or 4, but still, after saying these are the types of games the Phillies signed Jake Arrieta for, it's so fun to actually see him pitch like you want him to pitch in one of those games, as he was just outstanding last night. But again, this Phillies team just bounces back, and they're tough, and on the national stage against the best team in baseball, they really fought hard and took 1-2, and now they head home to face a Marlins team that they should have no trouble handling at home. Again, this team has been outstanding, this Phillies team at home. So coming home off this road trip for four against Miami before heading out west for the last time this season, at least the far west for the last time this season. A nice spot for the Phillies here as, again, really big taking that game last night. Let's dive into it as it does keep them in first place by half a game. 59-48 they take it. 59-48 on the season. They take last night 3-1. Shout out to Jake Arrieta, his best outing of the season considering the circumstances and all that goes into it. Granted, he looks pretty damn good against Pittsburgh at home. That start still sticks out as the ball was moving all over the place. But last night, considering the lineup he was facing, considering the spot for the team, considering on the road at Fenway, all that stuff, I think last night, Jake Arrieta's to date signature moment as a Philadelphia Philly, as he was just outstanding and had all his stuff working. And what he did that he hasn't been able to do really much in most of his starts this season when he struggled is he was able to work himself out of jams. It seemed like at least the first three innings of the game for sure, but often he would get runners on early in the inning and work his way out of it. Multiple times, lead off double, three outs, gets out of it without allowing a run. Runners on third with two outs, one out, getting out of it. Just a really terrific outing. Ultimately ends up going seven innings, one earned run, six hits allowed, a 7-0 strikeout to walk ratio. That is huge for Arrieta, a guy who, as we've talked about a ton, has struggled to get the strikeout when he's needed it at times. Looked certainly more than capable last night, again, against potentially the best lineup they'll face all season, right there with one of the best lineups, the Yankees, a couple others, but just an outstanding, masterful performance from Arrieta. And a game, again, where this team needed it. A game where this team needed to bounce back. Four straight losses. Losing two nights ago in a 13-inning extravaganza and a bummer of a way to go down. They needed it last night, and Jake Arrieta gave it to them, and it was awesome to see. The bullpen takes it from there. Tommy Hunter, another clean inning. Tommy Hunter, used in high leverage situation as of late, and the man has been coming through. Nice to see Tommy Hunter starting to look like the guy who they signed out of Baltimore. He's been a great pitcher in Baltimore the last couple of years. I know if you didn't see him pitch much there, and I'm just a weird baseball nerd who watches the MLB package ad nauseum when I'm not watching the Phillies. So I got to see a fair amount of Tommy Hunter last year, and 2 years ago, not as much. But you look at the numbers, he was outstanding. Outstanding for them in Baltimore, and that's why he got the contract he did from the Phillies. We're finally starting to see that guy come out. Could be a real weapon down the stretch if he continues to pitch at this level. And then Sir Anthony ran into a little trouble in the ninth, leads the first two runners on, but then able to just mow through the next three and get out of the inning. The Phillies closed out 3-1. Got some timely hitting, let's say. The offense didn't necessarily put up any gargantuan numbers. Obviously, the series in Boston, a well-pitched series, two-game series up there. But the Phillies able to get a run in the second as Jorge Alfaro doubles in Michael Franco after a Franco walk. Jorge saying, Wilson who? We'll get to that. But a nice double there for Alfaro. Got hit on the hand later in the game. It looked bad, but able to stay in the game. So hopefully that doesn't turn into anything too serious in terms of a bruise or whatever, but luckily not broken there. And then after that, they get a run in the fourth after Scott Kingery sack fly. Michael Franco with some nifty base running. You don't think about Michael Franco as a base running savant or anything, but made a really nice decision to not slide as the throw from center field, a terrific throw, a little offline, but a gun. And Blake Swire makes a nice play to catch it and dive at Franco, but Franco able to kind of do a little stutter step in the air and slide to the left just enough to miss the tag, ends up scoring the run. 2-0 Phillies. Every run would be important in this one as the Red Sox got one back in the sixth on an RBI ground up, and then the Phillies get a nice insurance run in the ninth. Reese Hoskins doubles, and then Carlos Santana, who has had a rough series up there, able to finally come through in a big spot for this team with a RBI single. That insurance run certainly felt important when Sir Anthony let the first two runners on base in the top or in the bottom of the ninth, but ultimately did not prove to matter, but still made you feel a lot better about that in that spot as the Phillies again a 3-1 victory, just a huge victory for this team. One of their signature wins of the season. I talked about that 16-inning win against the Dodgers being potentially the signature win of the season, but this one feels big as well, coming off the 4-game losing streak again, and after losing in 13 innings against the best team in baseball, to bounce back the next night with a pitcher who has struggled for the most part this season in big spots, certainly, to mow him down like that on Arrieta's part, and for the team to just gut it out and get a win against the best team in baseball, give them their 34th loss to 75 wins. That's a big one in my mind. So really great to see. A couple other quick notes from the game. Roman Quinn, have a night, Roman. 3 hits for Roman Quinn on the night. Did get thrown out trying to stretch a single into a double, and got thrown out on a steal as well. You could tell how fast he is, but maybe didn't get a big jump on that one, but a great throw as well. Swire, a nice night defensively, but ultimately, Roman Quinn, a nice night for him, 3 at night, starting for Odubel in center field, which, you know, a lot of people have criticized Kapler in the past for not sitting guys after rough nights or whatever. He did that last night. He took Odubel out, he sat him down, and he kind of said, all right, we're going to give you a mental day off. Think about the issues from last night, and then hopefully we see less of that moving forward. Obviously, we've seen it in the past from Odubel, but again, I don't blame him for the misplay in center field, the base running gaffe, though a real thing that you can give him some crap for. Mike Alfranco, another nice night last night, a couple hits, 2 walks, scored a couple runs, that nifty base running play, and then on the opposite side of it, though he did have a sack fly, I'm really starting to get to the point where I think Scott Kingery might need to be demoted to the minors for a little bit, not even just to help the major league squad, because he is struggling so mightily right now. The second lowest on base percentage of any major league regular. He is leading the league and falling into 0-2 counts. He's batting in the 230s. He's just really, really struggled. And not just that, when you watch him, he looks incredibly overmatched. Even when he makes contact, it almost feels like he's just fighting, trying to fight a ball off or just get contact on something. Opposite field contact is often where he's hitting it hardest, not really turning on the ball at all. He just looks like he's really struggling. And I actually think for his development that I think it might be important to send him down for a little bit. Give him a chance to gain a little confidence back against minor league pitching. We know he can have minor league pitching. I actually think that at this point it might be a detriment to keep throwing him out there and keep having him struggle night in, night out against major league pitching. I think he needs to go back down and work on his mechanics and work on what he does best and get back into a groove and then come back and potentially help this team towards the stretch run or at the end of the season there. But ultimately, right now, Scott Kingery is not helping the major league roster. I'm sure it's part of the reason they decided to bring in Asdrubal Cabrera, of course, but also I think for his development as well, I think it could really help him to go to the minors for a little bit and get his confidence back. All right, coming up, huge MLB trade deadline day, week, really since the Machado stuff started going down, it has been fire since then. Every team in the league made a trade. It's crazy. So we will dive into that coming up as the Phillies bring in 2 new additions, in addition, of course, to Asdrubal Cabrera coming in over the weekend. So we will dive into what the Phillies did, my thoughts on what they did and how Klentak handled the deadline, and look around at what some of the other teams in the National League did as well, of course. Also, we will look ahead to the series with the Marlins coming up. Much needed off day for the Phillies today. The first off day in 12 games, 12 straight days after the All-Star break. That's a grind. That hurts your bullpen. It's tough on everyone on a night-in, night-out basis. So it'll be really nice for this team to get an off day, come back home, and play a Marlins team that they are certainly better than. So coming up, we will dive into all that and, of course, a whole lot more. It's Phillies Today. It's James Seltzer. We are coming right back. We are back, Phillies Today, James Seltzer, as we've chronicled a 3-1 Phillies victory last night, 59-48 on the season in first place on August 1st. August 1st, of course, also means the non-waivers trade deadline happened yesterday. Of course, waivers trades can still be made, become more common as of late, but certainly not as frenzied as the non-waivers trade deadline. Tons of moves yesterday. The Phillies get in on the action. Of course, added Estreubel Cabrera a few days ago for Franklin Quilome. That would be the only prospect of note they would give up at all, as they will bring in a couple guys yesterday without giving anything up. Wilson Ramos, the headliner of the deal. And we talked a ton about adding an infielder. They did. We talked a ton about that, adding an outfielder. They didn't. We barely talked even theoretically about the possibility that they could bring a catcher in. And Wilson Ramos currently injured on the DL, probably won't be back till the end of August, maybe even the start of September. So, you know, you're really acquiring him for the stretch run, but boy, is he an offensive upgrade. And I love what Jorge Alfaro brings from an athletic perspective, from a power perspective, obviously, but he is nowhere near the hitter that Wilson Ramos is right now. And he is not nearly as sound defensively. And Andrew Knapp is neither of those things as well. Wilson Ramos batting .297 on the season, 14 homers, would have been the all-star starter for the American League if not injured at the time. He has been just a dominant offensive catcher, a top five catcher, really, whenever he's healthy. His problems have obviously been injuries throughout the past. Sometimes freak ones. He had a broken leg that ended his best season in Washington, but also some injuries that pile up that you're a little more worried about. But Ramos hopefully can come back and be the guy that he has been all season long prior to his injury, which you would expect. Again, he has been an outstanding offensive catcher, .834 OPS on the season, just a monster from an offensive perspective. And then from a defensive perspective, he is sound. He will give the Phillies a guy they can count on to do what he's supposed to do. He has handled many a staff. He'll help with this staff, all that type of stuff. He is a definitive, clear upgrade for this team, and the Phillies gave up absolutely nothing to do it. They gave up a player to be named later or cash considerations, and it has been reported since that they are not giving up any player of any value, as the deal was really based on the Phillies willing to take on the rest of Wilson Ramos's contract this season, as the Rays looking to dump some money there and Ramos on the DL. So not a lot of return from other teams potentially as well. So a brilliant, in my mind, trade for Matt Glentak here. There is zero downside to this trade. You're upgrading a position definitively. Obviously, if Ramos gets hurt, you're giving up nothing to get him other than cash. That's what this team has in spades. So a real low-risk move by Matt Glentak, and a move that could ultimately end up having real dividends for this team down the stretch. And again, bringing in a veteran bat, a guy who's played in the playoffs before, a guy who is just a dominant offensive type of catcher. Again, one of the best in baseball this season, potentially the best just in terms of raw numbers from an offensive perspective. And again, maybe not a defensive star, but certainly a more sound defensive catcher than Jorge Alfaro or clearly Andrew Knapp as well. So absolutely love the deal. Andrew Knapp, I will assume, will get sent down at the time, and Jorge will be the backup catcher and a nice potential bat off the bench who could give you a home run in a big spot. But I think that's an outstanding move to bring Wilson Ramos in here as an unexpected move, but really like seeing it. The other move the Phillies made yesterday, they get lefty Aaron Loop from the Toronto Blue Jays. Loop, your classic loogie, your left-handed specialist. His numbers against left-handed hitters have been historically really good. A .618 career OPS allowed, a .231 or .233 career average allowed. He's been a really nice pitcher against left-handed hitters. Obviously, right-handed hitters much more successful against him. I don't think you'll see Kapler use Loop against too many right-handed bats, but a nice guy to bring in here in that Austin Davis at the moment, the only left-handed arm you can really count on in this pen, but he's not necessarily a left-handed specialist. He can face lefties, righties. He's certainly better against lefties, but he's not someone who comes in and strikes fear in the opposing left-handed hitters the way a loogie, a classic loogie, a Real Cormier type guy does. And Loop maybe not strike fear, but certainly that type of guy and that type of upside from the left side, and gives the Phillies something they didn't have. So I think that's a really nice move too. And then when you couple that, those two moves with the Estreubel Cabrera move, and you know, some people really like Quilome. I think he's fine. I think he's ultimately going to be a reliever. Either way, Estreubel Cabrera coming in here, another guy who's played in the playoffs, a switch hitter, is having a outstanding season, had a really nice game in game one against Boston, would have been a big factor in them winning it, and certainly can not a good defensive shortstop, but neither is Scott Kingery, and Astuble just had so much more from an offensive perspective and from a veteran perspective and all that. So I think when you add those moves together, the way Matt Klentak has balanced the future by not giving up anything really damaging from a prospect perspective, anything that not only inhibits you from having some of these prospects come up and be a contributor in the future, but also that hampers you from using them in another deal down the road, you know, a deal maybe next year when you really need to go out and add the final piece to a title team, or however you view it, or 2 years down the road or whatever. They didn't have to give up their assets. Really, any real legitimate assets, and they were able to fortify this team. They were able to make this offense, when Cabrera and Ramos are ultimately in there, substantially better than it is now, and certainly more consistent, a lineup that's going to put the ball in play more, which I think for a lot of Phillies fans is exciting. But you add Roman Quinn into that as a potential outfielder. Again, a good night last night, can play defensively, speed, it gives you a nice pinch runner type option off the bench. I think this roster is starting to round into form from a position player perspective, and a lineup with Ramos in there at catcher and Cabrera at shortstop. It won't be a great defensive lineup, but hey, this team's been winning without defense all season. But I'll tell you what, it's going to be a lineup full of tough outs. It's going to be a lineup that's going to give you good at bats and that's going to put up runs. And that's kind of what we thought this team was going to be to start the season, right? Remember that? But ultimately, if this starting pitching can give us what we saw in Boston, if Aaron Nola can, and again, I think we can, especially in that was the closest to a playoff start the guys ever had with the bright lights in Boston, and maybe the best I've ever seen him pitch. And then Jake Arrieta, you know, finally coming through in that spot as well. You add in, you know, Pivetta has struggled at times, but certainly has flashed that upside. Velasquez has been way more consistent than expected, and Eflin has flashed upside too. And obviously they might run into some struggles with some inning limits, but they have a lot of young arms that they could bring up to spell some guys. And who knows, maybe there's a waivers trade in there for an arm that can help them get through it. But ultimately, I think, when you add Loop to the bullpen, and kind of a bullpen that's pitched really well, again, for the last month. I know we had some concerns before, but there's a lot of arms there. And with Neshek back and Hunter pitching well, and you know, Sir Anthony, I worry a little about with the innings that he might need a break at some point. But I'm starting to feel really good about how this team is set up. Now, when you look around the rest of the National League, there were a ton of moves made. These contenders didn't sit around and sit on their thumbs, except, of course, the Nationals, who almost traded Bryce Harper, or didn't almost, or who knows what they did. But they also put up a 25 spot last night, so maybe they're getting going a little bit. But the Braves make some moves. They go out and get Kevin Gausman from the Orioles, a really high upside young pitcher who has not put it all together for a full season, but has shown real flashes and stretches of greatness so far. A really nice buy low by them, in my mind, on Gausman. And then they add a few relievers, Brad Brack, Darren O'Day. The Diamondbacks go out and get Eddie Escobar, Eduardo Escobar, to help fortify their infield. They get Brad Ziegler, make a few moves. You look at the Brewers, who go get Travis Shaw, Jonathan Scope. They might be the worst defensive infield in baseball if they're going to play Shaw or Scope at shortstop, which it seems like they might. But they made some moves. The Cubs go out and get Hamels and a reliever here and there. They make some moves. So there was a lot of moves made by the contenders. The Pirates get Chris Archer, the surging Pirates, playing well. So a lot of moves made. And I think the biggest of all, the Dodgers get Brian Dozier to add to Manny Machado. I mean, whoa. But I think that when you look at it, the Dodgers have to be the favorite after getting Brian Dozier. There's no question about that. But after that, I think you poke holes in all the moves the other teams made. The Brewers get Mike Moustakas as well, but they didn't get a starting pitcher, and that starting rotation could be really ugly. And, none of the other teams, I think, made themselves that much better, that the Phillies did a very similar type of way to upgrade their team without giving anything up for the future. I think you have to feel really good after yesterday. I know a lot of people wanted the big move, the big splash, but I think the Phillies did a really nice job of working the margins and finding a way to not sacrifice the future for the now while still making the now better and more competitive. So It's exciting. All right, coming up, big off day today, and then the Marlins in town for four. Nick Pivetta takes the hill on Thursday to start that series, and then Velasquez on Friday, Eflin Saturday, and then Aaron Nola on Sunday. So we'll dive into that tomorrow, really break down that series as, again, the Phillies at 59-48 in first place on August 1st, and they got fortifications and new players coming in, and it's going to be an exciting run here, so get hyped. All right, that's going to do it for Phillies today. Today, again, we'll be back tomorrow. Otherwise, keep it here. We got you covered all day long right here on the Phillies 24/7 Network.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.